Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with My Opel, rewarding loyalty and taking care of members.
Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
Today is the autumn equinox when daylight and the hours of darkness are roughly equal. So from now on, we're going to see the nights really start to draw in. So the question we're asking is, what animals like the dark and come out to play at night and what do they get up to? Well, I'm joined by Aina Ní Lán, environmentalist and author of Our Wild World. Good morning, Aina.
Good morning, Claire. How are you doing?
I'm good. This is a timely discussion. Our producer almost tripped over a hedgehog this morning in the dark, and I saw a fox skulking around. I see them all the time anyway. So that's why we want to talk to you, because people are likely to see more of these chaps around the place now as the days draw in. And your new book that I mentioned there, Our Wild World, has a chapter about this called Things That Go Bump in the Night. Can we start with the one that people are most likely to be afraid of, I'd wager? Bats.
Well, I don't know why they're afraid of them, but we can certainly start with it, surely, indeed.
Okay, I'm afraid of bats, Aina. Can we go from there?
Are you afraid of birds? Why are you afraid of bats? It's all just the bad PR.
I don't know. Yeah, they're just, they're like flying mice, you know, and I'm never going to get on with a mouse.
Well, all right, then we won't go down that road. Bats come out at night because they feed on insects and birds feed on insects. So it's to split up the competition, as it were. So during the day, birds feed by sight, they're eating the insects. And then at night, when the birds can't feed anymore, all these insects are food for bats. So that's why they come out at night. And while they're not blind, they don't need to be able to see. They actually can navigate by echolocation, putting out high-pitched sounds that we can't hear. These bounce off the objects and come back to them at a reduced speed, therefore at a lower pitch, and they know where the things are by comparing the drop in the sound with what they emitted. So that's how it works very well. And of course, we see them for about another month, and then they go into hibernation because there are no insects, no flying insects in the winter, and therefore no bats. So the very last thing you would see at Halloween flying around is actually a bat.
And where do they go? Where do they hibernate?
Well, they hibernate somewhere where they won't freeze. I mean, in the summertime, they're up in roofs and in warm places, in the maternity hospitals, if you like, having their babies. But in the wintertime, they have to go somewhere where the temperature won't drop below 10 degrees. So that's usually underground, maybe in crypts or in caves, or, you know, in places like cellars, or indeed in hollow trees, maybe, or hollow walls, places where the temperature will stay steady, a steady 10 degrees. So that's where they go. So you're quite safe, Claire, for 6 months once Halloween comes. You won't see a bat until the following April.
And if they get into your house, you're not allowed to touch them, are you?
Well, you know, I mean, they're protected under the Wildlife Act. What on earth would you want to be touching them for? They won't get into your house. I mean, leave the window open and they'll fly back out again. Yeah, you only come in by mistake.
About 18 months ago, I was in my bed, happy out, right? My husband walked in and he said, "Do you realise there's a bat flying around the room?" Now, I will never recover from that. I hid under the duvet till he was gone. Now, he did. He flew out by himself. But you know, you hear these stories of people who have bat infestations in their house and they're just expected to get on with it.
But they're not bat infestations in their houses. They're actually a bat colony in the attic. And bats eat things like moths and midges and mosquitoes. Would you rather have a room full of midges and mosquitoes biting lumps out of you? Come on out of that. They don't give disease or anything else.
I'll make it my new project. Make friends with the bat.
Make friends with the bat. I mean, if a bird was flying around your room, would you be terrified?
Not really, no. Not as
much. Well, you should be. That's more likely to crash into you and do droppings all over the place and make a terrible mess. The poor old bat won't. You'll have to just re-educate yourself. That's just what you'll have to do.
Well, that's why I'm talking to you. And Aina, I want to talk to you about birds now. Owls in particular. We all know the lovely Late Late Show owl. But you're going
to tell us
why owls will never shave their legs.
Well, that's right, they won't, because then they'd be heard coming. Because we've two species of owls that are native in Ireland and come out at night. The barn owl, the Late Late Show one, if you like, and the other one, which is the long-eared owl, which is actually more common. It hasn't got long ears, it's just got feathers sticking up out of its head. Because they actually operate at night by sound. Their ears are asymmetrical on their head, and they have these big, as it were, satellite dishes on their faces, which like catch the sounds, the smallest sounds, and reflect them. And the difference between it hitting one ear and the other tells them exactly where the thing is that they're actually trying to catch. So having feathers all the way down to their actual toes, not like chickens' legs and things, which are all scaly from the knees, if you like, they're able to fly completely silently. And the poor mouse or rat doesn't know what hit it.
And they can hear a rat or a mouse from a very long way away, can't they?
That's right. That's how it actually works. Even the smallest little snuffle or twistle or walking on the ground of a mouse or a rat, and the owl can hear it and down straight into it. Really, really good.
They only eat living things or things that they catch that are alive when they catch them.
Yeah, that's the thing. The owls don't feed on carrion. And the trouble is, like sometimes if there's poisons put out for mice and rats and it doesn't kill them, they're sort of staggering about. They're easier to catch perhaps than a speedy one that's well. So a lot of our barn owls, 80% of them, according to a Birdwatch Ireland study, have traces of rodenticides in them. So this is not good, putting out rat poisons, as it were, just to be sure, you know, necessarily permanent baiting. So there's a whole big reform and all of that. But they actually kill their own prey, and this is why they're so useful around farms, killing rats and killing mice that are generally causing trouble to the farmers.
Ronnie has bats in his attic. They don't bother him. I don't bother them. But we have another one here. I have approximately 300 bats in our attic. Could that be right?
Oh, yeah, at least. Yeah.
Okay.
But they'll be gone. They'll be gone now once September comes. No bats stay in people's attics over the winter. It's much too cold up there.
Mm-hmm.
So that's only Hollis Street. That's only the maternity quarters. Once the end of September comes and, you know, they're foraging, and then they'll go off to hibernate somewhere else, not in the attic any longer. So she won't have them there for the winter.
Okay, I'm trying to be brave. Let's talk about insects, Aina. Moths. Everyone's familiar with moths.
Yes, we've loads of moths. We've got something like about 3,000 species of moths and 36 species of butterflies. But most of the moths come out at night, so people aren't as familiar. They all think they eat your clothes. Two species might eat your clothes, and it's only the caterpillars anyway. Adult moths don't feed at all. They're busy looking for women and things like this. So that's why they're out at night.
Mosquitoes. You mentioned mosquitoes earlier. You said the bats feed on them. We have mosquitoes here. People think we don't, but we do.
20 species of mosquitoes we have indeed. Yeah.
Mm.
Why wouldn't we have? But the thing is that they don't carry malaria, or at least they don't anymore. They used to carry malaria way back in the day, until the weather changed at the Little Ice Age. I mean, the last person of note to die of malaria from Irish mosquitoes was a gentleman called Oliver Cromwell.
Ah.
Now, he died in 1656 or 58, but it was from complications of malaria that he picked up on his Irish campaigns. So we got our own back on him in the end, didn't we?
The mosquitoes we have now, they still bite.
Oh, they still bite, yeah. You see, they need a feed of blood in order to lay eggs. So this is why they need mammal blood. So they can detect whether there's people there or not, or a mammal there or not, because we breathe out more carbon dioxide than when we're breathing out. So they can detect this increase in CO2. So if they come in your window and they can detect extra CO2, they know there's mammals there, and then they fly nearer, and then it depends on the odour of your skin, whether they prefer you or your long-suffering husband. And if they prefer you, they'll jump over him and bite you, and vice versa.
Me.
So, I mean, it's not people are not making that up when they say he gets bitten and I don't, or vice versa.
Listen,
you know?
Badgers, poor old badgers, I think they have a bad rep. I like to see a badger around the place.
Well, these mammals now know very well not to be coming out during the day when humans are about. So once it becomes dusk at all, the badgers will come out of their sets. The badgers will, as it gets dark, come out to look for food. And if you want to see badgers, you can, but you must be upwind of them. You must be downwind of the set, because badgers have a great sense of smell. So they come out and they sniff the air, and then off they go to look for food in the early night, you know, when it's crepuscular and like that. And they do get a bad rap, because there's all sorts of stupid pish rogues about them, that if a badger bites you on the leg, it won't let go until you break a stick and it hears your bone breaking. I mean, this is raw meat, as if a badger's going to come jumping out of its set to bite you on the leg. I mean, these are just made up stories that aren't true.
They're shy, but, aren't they, and quiet creatures.
Oh, yeah. They're docile, they're quiet. And mind you, if you send a yappy little dog down the set to attack them, they'll jolly well bite the dog on the leg and probably break it. And that's probably where the name came from, the reputation, because badgers have very strong jaws, and they actually dig sets with their legs and their jaws, so they're very strong. But if you don't be putting little yappy dogs down to attack them, you're grand.
Don't be drawing them on yourself. Aina,
exactly.
You want to mention National Tree Day on the 7th of October.
Yes, it's Spar National Tree Day. This year, Spar are our sponsor. I'm the president of the Tree Council of Ireland, and we have National Tree Day every year on the first Thursday in October. So this year, we have www.treeday.ie, the website. We're giving out a free native species of wild Irish cherry for the schools, because this is a day for schools. And the theme this year, of course, is trees are good neighbours. So the trees are good neighbours to us, the way they clean the air for CO2, the way they are habitats for biodiversity. So we should be good neighbours to them as well. So the 7th of October, Spar National Tree Day.
All right, be good neighbour to trees and a good neighbour to bats. Aidan and Ilana, we could talk to you all day, but I better go to the newsroom now and to Brian Jennings.